football's so woke nowadays.
Yeah, the life of a Manchester United fan is just this effervescent rollercoaster of destruction and...
I'm incredibly frustrated with the system, with the manager.
Strand lost a 50 million bid.
The game has gone, man.
Welcome back again, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Red White Football Podcast with your hosts, myself, Cormac, and my co-host, Taylor. Taylor.
Boom.
You're wearing a United sock. Does that reflect your confidence and mood from the weekend, or are you feeling a little bit...
A little bit more down, I think it's very fair to say.
I could probably 100% agree with you, Cormac, that it does seem a bit rogue of me to be wearing a Manchester United shirt on today's podcast, based on the fact that I told you before we did this how I'm in a foul mood. And I'm ready, but we'll touch on that
later.
We'll
get on that a bit.
But it's good to be back for another episode.
We are indeed. And if you are back for another episode, and you haven't yet already, subscribe, like. Comment, tell us how wrong we are all the time. It's nice. It makes us feel good, or it makes us feel bad, whatever you would prefer. But yeah, like, subscribe, follow, whatever you're listening to, rate 5 stars and all of the above. It's very, very nice of you. But jumping into it this week, when we recorded our last episode, which was last Tuesday, today is also Tuesday, as I was leaving the studio, Taylor gave me a phone call and basically said, Trossard has signed an extension on his contract and he's been given a big old pay rise, where I'm pretty sure we were talking about if anyone's going to leave Arsenal, it was probably going to be Trossard to fund for another potential attacking signing. It then comes out the next morning that Havertz is injured with a knee injury, which he sustained against Man United. Nothing was really clear about that at all. And then about 4 hours after that, Arsenal's interest in Eze went back on, just as we were talking last week, that it looked like him to Spurs was a sure thing. And then again, about 4 hours after that, there was a here we go from Fabrizio. And a few days later, Eze is at the Emirates wearing an Arsenal shirt. Walking down the tunnel's not there anymore, but walking out of the changing rooms and into the ground to the applause. So we filmed it the podcast probably the latest we possibly could to get everything wrong. And it has gone so unbelievably out of date. But yeah, wow, what a week.
What a week.
Well, that was for Arsenal anyway. Yeah, at least,
Arsenal.
Yeah.
What an Ornstein bomber that was. God. That was the moment it got announced that Havertz had suffered a knee injury. And I thought it was really interesting that they didn't specify the time on it. I wouldn't be surprised if it's even just like 6 weeks.
Well, I think that's what it hasn't really been said yet, but it's not an ACL tear or anything like that. So apparently it is only like a handful of weeks.
But it did seem like they were just kind of putting feelers out there to be like, we might go do something. And then obviously I think a big part they play the fact that Tottenham was so close to securing the deal. And apparently reading some of the inside stories on this transfer, and that Eze actually called Mikel Arteta up just in like the 11th hour to be like, yo bro, I'm about to sign this contract. Is there any chance you can save me? And then next thing you know, he's wearing the number 10 shirt at the Emirates against Leeds on Saturday,
hopefully, yeah.
On this Saturday.
Saturday just gone.
What a signing. Huge. Well done, Arsenal.
Absolutely massive. I mean, what a signing for several reasons. Obviously, we need the enforcements. He's a quality player. He's Premier League proven. And you getting one over on Spurs like that is...
It's the perfect transfer.
Twatter hasn't been like that in ages. Hasn't felt that sweet in ages. Spurs fans just getting attacked from everyone. Not even just Arsenal fans. Everyone giving Spurs the hardest time they possibly could. Oh, that was such a magical thing. And I'm pretty sure last week I was saying how Arsenal don't need him. We need him more. Completely wrong. He's an idiot last week. Everything's changed. He is the perfect player for us.
Yeah. Couldn't have picked a better player if we tried.
Not at all. I mean, you put him in your team of the year with the caveat if he goes to Arsenal.
Now watch this space.
Which now he has. I'm really excited. It's an exciting signing. And it is one that, I mean, obviously, you know, Saka's gone off injured. It's like he's out for a few weeks. Odegaard went off injured with a shoulder. Apparently that might only be 2 or 3 weeks, but still he's out nonetheless. So we need someone in.
Yeah, it just patches up a couple of holes in the squad, who's obviously succumbed to some injuries pretty quickly. But it will really, I think this really tests the mettle of Mikel Arteta's flexibility as a manager, because he's not a pure left winger. I still would argue that you still need a left winger. Based on Madueke's small cameos, he's now obviously going to be able to play on the right.
Yeah, so now Madueke was the signing of the season because he's going to play
for a month or so.
Yeah.
But based on his cameos on the left, not very good. Eze very much does exist in that half space between the left and the center. So can Mikel Arteta create the perfect blend of all the interesting? I just think it's a vibe. So
it is. I mean, it is. There's something you won't be able to measure, which is the vibes that brings.
Yeah, absolutely.
To the stadium, he looks to the players.
So cool in the tent.
The announcement video and everything. I know everyone calls off screen. I don't care. I think it's so much fun.
Brilliant video.
It's great. Like, as a fan, that's what you want.
You know what the funniest thing is? Manchester United's media team have been so scared about doing anything creative or nice like that ever since Alexis Sanchez played the piano.
Oh, that's such
and
a
we've not
point.
Done it. If you just look,
that was interesting. That time was since. Kind of the beginning of the transfer announcement.
Yeah,
stuff. But that was
you guys always
bizarre,
do it so creatively and so well. But yeah, I think the Eze one was particularly.
Yeah. I mean, having Ian Wright as a legend is a bit of a cheat code as well, isn't it? Because he's the coolest man alive.
He is the coolest. I can't believe how old he is. By the way,
I know. Is he 62 or something?
Yeah, he's
like that?
In his 60s.
He looks incredible.
And if you'd have told me he was like 43, I'd totally believe it.
He's just a cool dude,
but not 42.
Yeah, but no, great signing I think for Arsenal. I'm very excited. I am. The big question now is. First of all, I mean, does he start against Liverpool on Sunday? Because, I mean, today was his first day at training. You saw he was kind of on the training pitch playing with everyone. I think starting might be ambitious, but it's also when he does come on the pitch, where and how does he play?
You know what? Football's so woke nowadays. You know, back in the day, if your team signs someone, he's playing. Like,
I know.
Like, he's been at preseason. He's playing.
Yeah, he's match fit.
He's match fit. You just paid tons of money for him. It's this whole thing with Sesko and Amarin saying he's looking for a house to buy. And he's like, bro, you paid 70 million for him.
I don't care if he's looking for a house.
He's looking for a house on match day. Is he getting the team? All this woke nonsense.
First half, he's at stage.
Oh, he's going to view it in the first 20. No, he hasn't. Get him in the team. So, of course, you should book all this nonsense. Put him in the team. He's paid £70 million.
No, you are right. I'm sure. I mean,
nonsense.
I think he. I genuinely don't know if he does start. To be honest, I hope he does.
Yeah.
I want him to, but I don't know if he does because it'll be obviously Saka's out, Odegaard's out. So I think if he starts anyway, it's going to be in that midfield.
Of course, he has to start. You literally have two injuries to the. Two players where if Eze is going to come in immediately for someone would be for one of those two players and they both just happen to be out, of course he has to start. Do you reckon when Spurs pulled Pavlyuchenko from the Siberian wilderness, they pulled him off the plane and was like, yeah, we'll put him on the bench.
Yeah.
No, we'll put him in the team.
No, you're right. I do think, however, long term, I reckon he's going to become our left wing option. If I had to guess over anything else.
I think you're going to see a reconfiguration of your squad.
It's going to be a little bit of a changing. Just given, I mean, Martinelli really hugs that left wing, doesn't he? Like, he really hugs it. And he stays very high, which Eze won't be doing. So it will change kind of the structure of the team a lot. And I think, I mean, someone like Lewis Skelly could be very good playing that left back with Eze, just giving him kind of running options. Calafiori a little bit as well. I mean, he kind of inverts a bit more and all that woke stuff. But I think left wing probably feels like the most natural fit because otherwise it feels like he's either taking Odegaard's position in that kind of eight role or Rice, and you can't. Rice is probably, I'd say, the one mainstay in that entire team. If I had to pick one player to stay in that team, it might be Declan Rice.
Yep, I think it's really clear as day what you say is 100% correct. You now probably the final missing piece of that puzzle, which you might already have the answer to, but we haven't seen it yet. Is you just need a flying left back essentially. Mm. So Eze can be that left winger who operates in the half space and you have the flying left back.
So he has runners going off him.
Right, yeah.
And just gives him that space. Because I saw something. I think he averaged like the most shots in the league per 90 last year, which is something.
So that's not Bruno Fernandes.
No, it could be. Okay, shots over the bar maybe.
Yeah.
But, I want someone there and Eze is going to be that guy to just play his football. I hope Arteta, I think he has that freedom and that doesn't just get stripped of him immediately by terrorist Arteta.
Can't wait to see it.
And he's able to just do what he needs to do, have shots on goal, create something, play those little passes through to Jokeres, who's the best striker in the league, and just play his football. And I'm really excited.
And based on that little tactical nugget you just gave us all, Cormac, about how Eze is probably going to be the main left winger moving forward, and you will need that marauding left back. It's really, really nice to see that Arsenal are now closing in on another centre-back from the Bundesliga.
Left-sided centre-back
who has the possibility to play left-back, but not in a marauding way.
No, he's just another 6'2", I think he's 6'2", is he? Or something
Someone
like that.
Someone stop this man. I know.
Arteta can't help himself.
I think because of what's been happening with United at the beginning of the season where we're at, I woke up and I saw that Arsenal were almost like closing it. The only bit that made me giggle was that because Spurs are undressed, he seems like he's stealing him
again.
It's
quite funny.
That's quite funny. But I woke up and I saw that and I was just genuinely angry. I was like, how do they keep letting him get away with signing these centre-backs?
Yeah.
Why?
But
he's going to cost like 60 million. Buy a left winger.
I know. Well, because it looks like Kyrie's on his way out, or he has to be if we get this over there.
Yeah.
I think it's fair. I think we're going to get 40 million for him, which I think that might make him our highest ever sale.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken,
Oxlade-Chamberlain
is
number one. We're not very good at selling. And that's quite because we are the.
Don't worry.
Yeah, that's true. But you're better than us, I think. Somehow, I think who's your highest ever sale, Man United?
Either Dan James or Scott McTominay.
Wow. Okay.
I think it is Scott McTominay, but it was Dan James.
We're both pretty shit. Yeah. But another centre back coming in, which is, I mean, I don't really understand it, to be completely honest.
Yeah, it looks like this one's going to get done. Cool. He's an Ecuadorian international.
That's fun.
We like that.
Yeah. Sure.
Why not? Spend another 60 million.
But Eze is the exciting one.
Eze is the exciting
one. And that's what we're excited to look at. But other than that, Arsenal obviously over the weekend, Leeds 5-0, Jokeres has 2 goals, Timber looks really good. Kind of a run-of-the-mill battering. We always seem to do well against Leeds at home, especially.
Yeah.
So
Leeds are rubbish.
Yeah, they are crap. And it's nice to have that kind of the Jokeres effect, especially him getting, first of all, his one goal, which was really well taken, to be fair. It does look like he runs in Timberlands, but people still can't seem to stop him at all, can they? he can't be stopped. And then he just scored a penalty, which was won by Max Damm and the 15-year-old, which is another big talking point, really, I think, on the weekend. We spoke about him kind of on the back of preseason, how this young man is going into year 11 this September to do his GCSEs. So how much is he going to feature this year in the Arsenal system?
Hopefully not a lot. Personally,
I mean, personally,
is like the human that he is. Like, if you think about it, it really did kind of hit home for me when I heard that he is going into year 11 and that he's yet to take his GCSEs. The kid should only play when you're 4-0 up. There is no reason for this child to be doing anything for another year at least. And then once he's 16, 17, that's different. But whilst he's 15 years old,
But they wouldn't, I don't think. No. Now they would put him in the team unless they thought that he was
ready. No, unless they thought he was ready. And he obviously is very good.
Yeah.
But there needs to be a level of temperament and control about someone who is
15. Yeah. I mean, I reckon he'll get like minutes like he did off the bench this week. He'll maybe get a Carabao Cup start once or twice.
If no one saw him for 3 months, no one should say anything because he's 15.
Yeah,
and
people aren't going to be shouting, "Where's Down?" On the side. Well, they probably will be.
Yeah, well, the football world is a weird world, isn't it?
Yeah. Where's that 15-year-old
game? No one sees him for the next 3 months. I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe he's just wants to play with kids his own age, which is a completely fair testament. He might want to go play against the under-21s, which is still several years higher than
which is a very
where he is
level
currently
level.
At. So, you know, fantastic to see him get his debut. Mm-hmm. Fantastic to see HLN produce another talent.
Another bloody right winger.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Well, that's it. He could probably just play wherever he wants, except left wing, because you'll never sign a left winger in your life ever.
God forbid.
Brilliant to see. And he obviously just looked pretty good. Won another penalty.
Yeah. That's every soft penalty, but we'll take those. Overall, quite a week for Arsenal. It hasn't been a great week for Man United, but we'll come on to them in a minute because it also has been a bad week. Man City lost 2-0 to Tottenham Hotspur, who, you know, obviously on the back of that Eze situation, really needed something to pick up the team, pick up the fans, and doing what they do, which is beat Man City pretty comfortably, really, and by far look the better team. Taylor, you were always unconvinced by Man City. Well, always. We're 2 weeks in.
I'm always unconvinced.
You are always unconvinced by Man City. What did you make of it?
Well, firstly, I'm unconvinced by them because they have 115 charges currently against them, which are yet to be ratified.
I will never believe in that. But, like, I don't think anything's happening.
And that is an issue for another day, according to the Premier League. But I'm unconvinced by Manchester City because they've lost so much quality in the past 2 years, and I think they've replaced it with mid. I think some of their signings are good, but it's funny, isn't it, when you see the true definition of how a club is perceived and how much the general public are bothered about certain clubs compared to others. Because if Manchester United or Arsenal had spent the money that Manchester City have spent in the past year or 8 months,
Arsenal have spent that
kind of money. No. But I'm talking spending £60 million in January on Nico Gonzalez from Porto for him to, frankly, not look great at all. I mean, apparently he played okay against Tottenham, but and there was very much discussions that he could be leaving after just 6 months at the club. Also, you know, his dad used to work for Manchester City. Funny side story on Nico Gonzalez.
That is a random.
But, and also, I think Omar Marmoush, 80. That's it was a lot of money.
He looks good, though.
He does look good.
Probably is. I mean, the end of last year, you got 8 goals from January last year, which in a Haaland side.
10 million a goal, it's a bargain.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. 6 months.
Well, if we're looking at how much Manchester United pay for strikers and their goals.
Let's not do that
math. But I think Ryan Shaqiri will be fine, but I don't think he's designed for a Pep Guardiola.
He's too
free-spirited.
Yeah, I think so.
It's my term for someone who I just don't think is able to press and play an intense level.
Yeah, I agree.
He's probably also just purely bemused coming from France and Ligue 1 to the sheer intensity of the Premier League.
And Man City at that as well.
And then who else have they bought? Well, they brought James Trafford, which if I was James Trafford,
he had a stinker as well.
Who, bless him, he obviously had a stinker. What you don't want to do when your team have just purchased you for 40 million, 35 million?
Yeah, something like that.
What you don't want when then your team is then linked with potentially one of the top three best goalkeepers in the world right now is to go and have a stinker and justify why they should probably be going to do that. Because if I was him now, he probably would have gone into Newcastle and would have been starting goalkeeper.
Yeah, of course,
and now it's very much looking like he's going to be back up to Donnarumma. Donnarumma's only 26.
I know, so, that's depressing, isn't it? You forget about that.
Yeah, I think they signed Victor Ruiz from Palmeiras in January, who's now gone on loan to Girona. So he obviously clearly isn't ready. They spent 40 million on Kusinov from Ligue 1. What's going on with him?
Oh no, God, his debut, remember that?
He had a dreadful
against
debut.
Chelsea.
That bless was... him. He did look like a rabbit in the headlights on that day.
Where's he from as well?
He's from Uzbekistan.
I was Uzbekistan.
And he has a really cool energy drink, like AK-45 or something. It sells loads in Uzbekistan.
Fair enough, good on him.
And he's the most non-looking defender you've ever seen, ever.
He's too soft-looking. Not in like a weenie way, but he's just got soft features.
He's got such a baby face as well, which doesn't help. Yeah. They've lost Kevin De Bruyne. Rodri
played against Spurs.
Yep, and still lost.
Yeah, but he's not 100% fit, is he?
Yeah, he's also getting older, and he's also come back from an insane injury. It's just going to take at least a few months to reclaim any kind of form that allowed City to be what they wanted to be before. Who else have they signed? They've signed tons of players. And obviously Erling Haaland didn't score, but that will probably get sorted.
Yeah, he'll score.
But I'm just genuinely concerned about how Pep also has a brand new coaching team behind him in the form of Colo Torre, Pep Linders, who obviously was Klopp's ex-assistant at Liverpool. So much change has occurred. I'm getting the vibe that this is the final iteration of Pep City. I don't think they'll have a very successful season. I think there'll be moments where they beat lots of teams and they'll score 4 or 5 goals. I also think there'll be lots of games where they lose and they probably don't get a result, because I just don't think that team has the facilities. Foden, what's going on with him? There's so many... The thing with Pep's teams in the past is they've been so solid. Doesn't matter who you put in, it's almost a plug and play, and everyone kind of gets it. Bernardo Silva, he's older now. He's always been, he looks like he's on the precipice of either leaving or just maybe being a bit too old all the time now.
Yeah.
There's not a steady consistency with this team anymore. And I think there'll be moments where they win, but I don't think there'll be moments where they win all the time. And I think they'll probably fall off at various points in the season, because they haven't got the experience. They've lost a lot of that experience.
Yeah.
So that's why I think City are going to probably not finish anywhere near what... it's more historical chat that I think people just muscle memory assume that City are going to be in that top two, top three.
Yeah.
I don't think it's particularly as a given that they will.
Well, no, I think you're being very, I mean, it's a bold claim, which I think you realize that it is as well. Like, it's, you're not saying this and thinking it's everyone's going to agree. Because I agree with a lot of what you say. I mean, the goals that they conceded against Spurs, the big one, which they, I was watching Alan Shearer telling me this, but it was very interesting. They're obsessed with playing people offside. Mm-hmm. And John Stones was trying to do that, which led to the first Brendan Johnson goals. When it was just a ball over the top, simple as, John Stones tried to play that offside, slipped over, Richarlison down the wing, played it in, Brendan Johnson gets another goal, which he always seems to do, which is great.
I hate Brendan Johnson. He just...
I really like him, actually.
Oh, I don't, because he's a professional footballer, because he just manages to score goals at the right time, which I hate.
Yeah, God, imagine that. Imagine being a professional footballer scoring all the time.
I'm in a bad mood today, Paul Mac. I'm in a hateful mood. There is...
But no, they really struggle with that. And then the other way they conceded was a Trafford kind of missed pass from press, and then they just tapped it in. Paulinho scored. He was excellent, by the way. We kind of gave him a bit of shit the other day. I know. But I mean, Spurs' midfield just completely dominated Man City as well.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't let them have any time on the ball. Pressed, moving up the pitch. And I do think Man City are going to be susceptible a lot to those quick counter-attacking goals, and also not being able to play the ball out quick enough. And teams who are very good at pressing, like a Thomas Frank team,
mm-hmm.
even then with the Spurs squad, I think they are going to concede a bunch. And I agree with you. I mean, they were third in my league predictions. I still think that's probably fair, because they will pick up those wins anyway.
Yeah.
But they also...
smash teams like 5-0.
They've always kind of been like, they've had moments like this. Remember like when they lost to Brentford 2-1 a few years ago? Mm-hmm. It is those balls. I think they are gettable.
I think this is the most gettable they've ever been, though.
I just think their quality going forward is still very strong. I think if Rodri does come back and is 80% of what he was, and they do have a bit of more consistency in that team, because there are still some plugs that, I mean, Reinders was still strong, I guess, on the weekend.
I didn't mention Reinders just because he doesn't know my argument.
No, he doesn't, but he's still, you know. But no, it's poor result for City, really.
Shout out Papa Matasar for Spurs, by the way. Had a great game.
He was also
great player. Always liked him.
Yeah, he's quick, he's athletic, he's a good passer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he just gets
strikes
down
me
the
as
pitch.
The type of infielder Brighton would have picked up and then sold for 100 million.
It's exactly the type of infielder, absolutely. Yeah. But no, I mean, fuck Spurs, but I really like Thomas Frank.
I really like Thomas Frank.
And it sucks so much. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, and seeing him interviewed as well, you're just like, he knows what he's all about.
You know, how many times did I tell you before we hired Ruben Amorim? I was like, I would take Thomas Frank.
Yeah, absolutely. He was the choice, I think. Especially now, I mean, hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he was a great pickup for Spurs. Their best signing of the window.
Yes.
If I say.
Probably.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's probably their only signing of the window.
It might be. Yeah. But okay, very nice. Moving on then to our favourite topic, and that would be Man United being shit. Right. 1-1 against Fulham on Sunday. What a contrast it's been over the last week, Taylor. We've gone from losing 1-0 to Arsenal to, oh my God, Man United, they're back, to drawing with Fulham, and all of a sudden the world is against you again and you're all shit.
Yeah.
Do you want to give us a quick monologue of how you're feeling?
Yeah, the life of a Manchester United fan is just this effervescent rollercoaster of destruction and...
Oh my God. Fucking hell, carry on, don't ever stop you.
No,
it was just wow, I'm just far that.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, I'm just destruction and potential glory, potential Valhalla, to then absolute like depths of despair and nothing in between. You are always on the edge of either greatness or desperation, and that's just where we're at now. I'm incredibly frustrated with the system, with the manager. The pretty face is wearing off on me very quickly. I did kind of have this inclination at the back end of last season. I would need to be shown very quickly that something's distinctively different with this team. And watching us against Fulham, obviously the final result being 1-1, but it was very much the blueprint of what we saw a lot of last season. In fact, we won the last 8 times at Fulham. So for us actually not to win now at Fulham was even more concerning. On the basis that we played fantastic for 15 minutes and we never score when we play fantastic. And then it stays 0-0. We get a penalty. Bruno decides to kick it into Hammersmith City Centre.
Yeah, but no, it's not his fault though, because the referee bumped him.
Yeah, sorry.
He didn't say sorry.
Yeah, the ref squared up to him and knocked his block off, and then...
Why has he said that, man? It just makes him look like a dick, doesn't it?
It makes him look like a dick, because the reporter obviously says, did that bother you? He goes, well, no, it bothered me because he didn't say sorry. But he's like, well, then just don't make it a thing then. Yeah, don't. If you're going to say it's not a thing, you just annoyed didn't say sorry, but you still missed the penalty. Anyway, Bruno missed the penalty. We then go into halftime, 0-0, and then second half, corner in swing from Mbeumo. Lenny Yoro glances the header, which turns out to be 5, 6, 7 inches wide.
Yeah.
And it just happens to hit Rodrigo Muniz, 1-0, to which then we completely, firstly, make some dreadful substitutions. Dreadful substitutions, which I'll kind of get into a bit more in a minute. We bring on Ugarte, which is, for everything I've seen from him since preseason, I just don't know why this is, keeps being the move. We made another substitution, which is also in my mind. But then obviously, oh no, sorry. How could I forget? Diego Dallo. Thank you very much.
Yep.
So then Fulham get the ball as a result of Diego Dallo messing around on the ball, man. He just has zero ball retention, zero skills. Anyway, he loses the ball. Bruno loses his man, Smith Rowe, who then obviously gets on the end of the ball.
Oh, he's our favourite player in the world as well.
Yeah, we did say he was doing a good season. I bet that's probably his best performance of the season against United, just right there. And then we, after 1-1, we never looked like we were going to win the game. And we, in a response to going 1-1, decided to bring on two centre-backs in the form of Maguire and Aidan Heaven in the hope of scoring. So it's just, we spent £250 million, and we're doing exactly, you know, we made that Arsenal Manu 11.
Yep.
I put Harry Maguire up top.
Yep.
Because I wasn't lying. It's because it's something we genuinely seem to be doing, even after spending £250 million on attackers. Anyway, what I do hate is a couple of things. Firstly, Diego Dallo, leave. Brother can't play football. Get out of my football club. He comes on. Poor Amaz playing right wing back, a position he's never had to play in his whole life. Comes in, does fine. Diego Dallo, who actually has played that position before, can't play it, obviously. Loses the ball, they concede. Ugarte comes on, we concede. Gives no measure of any solid performance quality that I like to see. No ball retention, no skill on the ball, no progressive passes, no composure. Just looks like he just wants to cause destruction with no genuine output to give to it, which is so frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
And my final real bugbear with this whole team is that Kobbie Mainoo is just not getting into this team.
That's, I think, the most concerning part.
Yeah.
We spoke about it enough last week, really, didn't we? But it's happened again.
Yeah.
And he hasn't got a minute.
And you know what's going to be the most insulting thing? He'll start against Grimsby. Whenever you guys are listening to this, I'm sure you'll either see it in the future or have seen it that Mainoo would have started against Grimsby. It's just shocking. And I'm at the point now where he probably will leave. He's probably looking at this. And
apparently, I don't know how true it is, but apparently a few clubs have inquired about
Well,
him.
Of course they will be, because they'll be looking at a 19-year-old, 20-year-old with top potential.
England international.
England international, who can't get into a Manchester United side, which is objectively
is one of the worst
rubbish
ever.
Yeah, it's literally, we have a genuinely dreadful midfield and he can't get into it. And I'm just like, why? What is the system? The system should be able to fulfill a talent like Mainoo within it. You shouldn't have to play a system which can't coexist with the Mainoo in it.
Yeah.
I find that incredibly frustrating. And I, for one, don't want to back a manager who has played more games in the Premier League as manager for Manchester United than points accrued, which is frankly dreadful. If he is going to have that statistic behind him and not put Mainoo in the team, I'm not happy about that.
Yeah,
I can understand getting rid of Garnacho. He's made some big calls. He got rid of Rashford. Think of all the managers that wanted to get rid of Rashford. He's the manager that got rid of Rashford. He's going to be the manager that gets rid of Garnacho. He's very well could be the manager that gets rid of Mainoo, and I think that's where he loses the majority. Because if he does so, based on how bad we've been, he's come out and said that Mainoo is fighting with Bruno for that centre mid spot. There's no way he's going to win that battle. That feels like a losing battle for him. Whether he waits it out a year and waits until Bruno goes to Saudi Arabia, maybe. But it's just looking diabolical so quickly again. Even if we'd have beat Fulham, I think the lingering idea of, like, Maynou probably leaving. We need a midfielder so badly. The goalkeeper is so bad. We need a goalkeeper. We need a good goalkeeper. There's so much wrong with this team. We've spent so much money again. Why does this keep happening?
Brother, I wish I could tell you.
I'm just so angry. I hate Ugarte. I hate Diego Dalot.
I don't understand it, to be honest with you. I'm double checking when the transfer deadline day is. Is it this weekend?
It literally is in like this week. And we're going to see an incredible... Jadon Sancho still plays for Manchester United. Antony still plays for Manchester United. Garnacho still plays for Manchester United. We cannot sell a player.
It's September 1st, so that's next week.
Boiling
hot,
man.
Next Monday.
I'm getting hot. I know.
Man United. I mean, why is it... Obviously, you lost to Arsenal, which I think everyone kind of
expected.
Play
three at the back, man. It's so anti-United.
I hate United.
Our biggest attacking output is Dorgu from the left wing back. Yeah. 20-year-old who played for Lecce before us.
I feel bad for Dorgu, man, because he's come in. He's looks actually pretty competent, really, at times.
Yeah, no, he does. He looks absolutely a fine player. The system disables our best attacking. It forces our most creative player for the past 4 years in Bruno, the guy who's created more chances in the Premier League than anyone else ever in the past 5 years, to be playing CDM and having to mark Emil Smith Rowe. Back in the day when he was playing CAM, he could let Smith Rowe run off him because there would have been another line of defence behind him.
Fred was there.
In the form of the two CDMs behind him who would have picked up that man. But now he has to do that. He's not done that before, which is why you're seeing what happened against Fulham.
Yep.
Our most creative player is now CDM, and it's frustrating. Three at the back, then when you see Ahmad, again, one of our best players, being shoehorned into right wing back.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
I do wonder, it makes sense. I don't know how long this can go on for, because if you are a Man United fan, it's very frustrating.
Look, if Maynou gets sold, they ain't going to go on for much longer. If he gets sold or if he leaves in any capacity and he loses the next game, the fans, the board will stick with him for a lot longer than the fans
have to,
because it's their man and it's their decision.
Yeah.
But he needs to show some flexibility in this whole thing. I don't know how he does it because he seems so obsessed with this three at the back.
Well, that's his thing though, isn't it? That's why you got him. But that's not changing. That isn't changing.
It needs to change. He needs to show me that, he says, oh no, but it's not about the three at the back, it's about the positional awareness and all this. But it's still objectively a three at the back.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting because Manchester United then have more centre backs than we do, attackers, essentially. And it's anti football in my mind. And it's making me upset.
Really?
it is making me upset.
No, I get it.
Me concerned, man. Are we just going to be playing three at the back forever now? And
I'm going to be boring here and pick some positives. You did look good for a minute. Cunha and Awemo, again, did score.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but they had moments.
Mm-hmm. Cunha did look very good.
You're a better manager away from being a decent team.
No, exactly. We are a better manager away from being a better team. I'm sure it worked really good at Sporting.
Is there a point where he's going to have to be like, listen, right, if this three back isn't working, Ugarte's clearly not the guy.
I think if he did, the fans would even buy into him even more.
But he's a very competent football manager,
I think,
obviously.
He's unbelievably stubborn and that he can't see past this, because if he sees past it, then the players will see the flaws and they won't be on board as much.
I get that, because it is a philosophy and you do have to stick with it. But there's a breaking point. There is a breaking point. And obviously, we're only in week two. So I don't know. I don't. So let's all calm down.
Oh, man.
But we'll have to see. I mean,
but if Maynou goes in this final week, I think the breaking point is a lot closer than everyone.
Do you think he's going to go?
I think at the minute, I'd say I'd put it as 60%. He's more likely to leave.
Wow.
Either on loan or permanently.
Interesting.
And if he left permanently, Lord knows the Manchester United world will come crushing down Ruben Amorim very quickly.
Come to Arsenal, man. I dare you.
This is the point.
I dare
There are so many top teams in the world who would snap their hands off to get Maynou.
Yeah.
So for a Manchester United team that finished 15th last season and has 1 point on the board this season, if top teams in the world want a midfielder from your academy who's sitting on the bench, want to put him in the team and see what happens? Literally, you can't be any worse than what's already happening.
Yeah.
Oh, man, make it make sense.
Just another week as a Man United fan.
Fake fan, man.
Oh, it's great stuff.
Oh, okay.
And we're back.
Oh God, I hope they didn't record that. Yeah. Back in there, I'm boiling on.
Right. I mean, that's been the week. You got a big week this week.
I mean, we're playing Grimsby, but I mean, unless you want to touch on the Newcastle Liverpool.
Oh, that's probably a great idea, actually. We'll just run through that quickly because we don't spend too much longer on kind of this last week. But yeah, 3-2, quite a corker game, actually. Another kind of crazy Liverpool result, which everyone's already said, but we've said it as well. This is going to be, I think that seems quite common this week. 2-0 Liverpool, then we're back to 2-2, and then in the 100th minute, the 16-year-old whose name is now escaping me.
Rio Inmuga.
I've got it right here. How's your pronunciation skills?
Ngamoa.
There you go. Mm-hmm. The 100th minute scores the winner, which is really nicely taken. Beautiful leave by Szoboszlai. God damn. I don't really put that away. It's still positive.
Honestly, I'm fuming at home.
But what I want to talk about is obviously the Isak situation, but the Anthony Gordon red card really kind of put Newcastle right at the end of the first half when they were 1-0 down. So really stupid. Fucked them up. Really, what a stupid so challenge. Stupid.
He's now got sent off twice against Liverpool.
That's his third yellow card, third red card, sorry, yeah. As a Newcastle player. He's been there 2 years.
Wow.
Like an Arsenal player kind of record.
That, yeah, that is dreadful.
But I actually texted Taylor saying it wasn't a red card, and then I saw the replays and went, oh no, I think it absolutely was a red card.
It's just so stupid. It's a red card for being that stupid.
Yeah, just really clumsy.
Just at half time as well. Did you keep your head?
Yeah, really stupid. And that, again, they went, Ekotike scored.
Baller, by the way.
He looks really good. Do Liverpool need Isak?
No, but they... I get it because it's the indulgence. They don't need him, but they want him. Yeah. And they can get him. And almost signing the top three striker in the world, you don't need him, but you want him because of what it says.
Exactly. And also, you're not going to say no.
They desperately need a centre-back, by the way. Canate might be the only bum to go into final year of his contract and look worse.
He looked pretty bad.
He looked bad in every game.
He hasn't looked great, has he? Nah. Which is really funny because everyone was saying Canate is up there with the Saliba and Gabriel's.
Yeah,
let's all calm down.
No, that's
all right, folks.
Far from
let's
the
all calm down. Do Newcastle need Isak? Asula coming on, scoring a goal?
Well, this is so funny, isn't it, how football works? Football is just so funny sometimes, just to see when it went to 2-2 and I genuinely saw no other world where Newcastle weren't going to win that, but just to see
I assumed they were going to win it as well.
What's his name?
Asula.
Asula. To see Asula score that, I was like, that is hilarious.
Yeah,
that
good
is
on him.
Hilarious, isn't it? Because they've been really worried about letting him unleashed, essentially.
Yeah.
And for him to go do that, really just so people just need to get on with it a bit more.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I'm sure.
Trust you guys.
But actually, by saying not get on with it a bit more, I said earlier on in the season during our predictions that if Newcastle were to lose one of the three midfielders for a good period of time, that's when you might see Gimaraj. You might see some cracks. Well, funnily enough, Newcastle, who were very up for the game and ready to take the heat to Liverpool and cause them...
Get in them, it said, in the
physical
crowd.
Physical damage and whatnot. Suffered two major injuries last night to their midfield and the former Joelinton. Yep. Which, by the way, I do actually think I hate Joelinton.
Every time he plays Arsenal, he decides to kick the shit out of everyone.
No, he also seems to go after like the smallest, weakest person on the pitch. And he's like walking around like he's this really tough guy.
I know.
But now...
I see him interviewed though, and he comes across really nice.
I bet he's really nice. And I bet if he played for my team, I'd probably love him. But I don't because he plays for Newcastle.
Exactly.
And he's out injured. Antonali looks like he's got an arm injury, like a shoulder injury. So they might suffer incredibly. I think if you take those two out of the midfield, Gimaraes, who every time I watch him, I'm actually more impressed with him than I ever thought I was originally. But I think that's a lot for him to do by himself. That midfield goes from top two in the league to just whatever.
It's going to be a big week for Newcastle this week. Final week of the transfer window. Obviously, the whole Isak situation. So they go for the likes of Visser. Strand Larsen, 50 million bid.
The game has gone, man.
I mean, I like Strand Larsen.
I like Strand Larsen.
As a 25 million striker, I think he would be an amazing signing. 50 million.
50 million, and I think
Gyökeres is 55.
Oh, man.
And Gyökeres is worse than Strand Larsen. He's not better. He's the best striker in the league. But it's a big week for both Liverpool and Newcastle, really, in terms of, because they're both probably going to have some
question to you then, Cormac.
Hit me.
We do it every week. Yep. What are you thinking now? Is he to stay or is he to go?
Is he Zach staying or is he Zach going? I change my mind almost daily.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see a world where he stays, is what I'm going to go with now.
I am saying he does stay.
Interesting. I honestly can't call it.
No, I think that I genuinely do believe.
They've done really well up to this point with the way they've stood strong, Newcastle, to be fair to them.
Yeah, I 100% believe that the private investment fund of Saudi Arabia and the folk that run that will not be...
budged.
Yeah, they'll be like, look... Some Swedish fella wants to leave your football club that you own in the north of England. Out in the head office in Riyadh, in Saudi Arabia, and they have to put up with like major geopolitical situations and major money dealings, and they're going to be like looking and being getting text messages saying, oh, this Swedish bloke wants to leave again, and be like, lol, don't care. Someone's bid 130 mil. That's like 0.0001% of like their interest that they'll earn in a year.
They spend that on their lunch. Yeah,
literally, they ain't bothered, and I don't think they'll be... proven to be shoved around. So I think he'll stay. I think
interesting.
He'll stay.
I'd like to see it.
I guarantee first Champions League game, he'll be in the squad. Because you know players are fickle.
Football fans are fickle. Yeah. Football is a fickle sport, especially emotionally. But yeah, there you go. That was that last week. That is this last week in football that we've run through here. But now, moving on to what you've all been waiting for, week two of the red and white scoreboard, folks. So for those who haven't seen it before, we have a little a league table going where we predict five scores of five games each week. 1 point right for the correct result. I've got a lisp all of a sudden. 3 points right for the correct score. Now we're going to run through last week's results. So just FYI, week one, I got 5 points. Taylor got one. However, I think this week, folks, there's a little bit of a swap.
You did a big week.
First game that was picked was West Ham Chelsea. I predicted 0-2. Chelsea predicted 1-3. That was in fact. Taylor predicted 1-3. It was in fact 1-5. So 1 point to us both. Then City and Spurs. I predicted 2-1. Taylor predicted 2-3. It was 2-0. So that's 1 point to Taylor.
Huge.
0 points to me. West Brom Pompey, which is objectively the fixture of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I predicted 0-1. Taylor predicted 2-1. It was 1-1. So no points for either of us. The big one next, Palace Forest. I predicted 2-1 Palace. Taylor predicted 1-1. And it was, in fact, 1-1. And then finally, Newcastle Liverpool. I said 3-3. Taylor said 2-1 to Newcastle. It was 2-3. So nobody got a point. However, what that does to the league table... because that puts us joint on 6 points apiece.
It's tense. It's
so,
tense,
guys. So we've had a complete swap from last week. So it's a real nail biter in week two of the red and white scoreboard.
The narratives that it throws up is insane.
It's been
basically
mental.
We both don't know ball.
No, we clearly don't. The fact that I've got 1 point from that last week is so
I mean, there's
funny.
How many points is it for correct results?
Three. Yeah. So you got one correct result this week. I got one last week.
So technically, it's 30 available points, and we've got six.
Yeah, if you look at it like that,
I'm not going to.
No, I'm not going to either.
Okay.
But that being said, we're going to go into week three now and pick our next fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
As you won, Taylor, that means you get the three games you get to pick. Do you want to have a look at what game?
I know what my first game is going to be.
Okay, here we go.
Manchester United versus Grimsby Town.
Is this at Grimsby or
this
at Manchester?
This is at Grimsby.
Beautiful. Where else would you rather play?
Actually, fun fact about Grimsby.
Go on.
In that there's one of the few football teams that actually not play in the name that they're from. They play in Cleethorpes, which is not actually Grimsby.
How fun.
Yep, there you go.
Well, what are you going to predict on that one, Taylor?
See, this is where marginal gains comes in. I'm thinking Sir Dave Brailsford. I'm thinking marginal gains. I need to get the score right here. So I'm going to go 4-5-0.
To Grimsby?
No, 0-5. To Manchester United.
All right, nice. So a team that hasn't scored any goals this season are now going to score 5.
One of those players in Manchester United's team.
I know you are conceding a goal.
Yeah, this is where the marginal gains comes in later.
I'm saying 1-3, so I do think you're going to do them. I don't want to, I don't want to get you overexcited.
I need a reason to come back on this pod happy.
Oh, God, you need a win, don't you?
Oh,
well, that being said, I'm going to pick a game as well. We've got tomorrow night. There is, obviously, tonight being Tuesday and tomorrow there's also League Cup. Special shout out to Oxford United. So if my dad's listening, he's an Oxford United fan. They are playing Brighton in Oxford tomorrow night. So I'm going to go for that one there. And I think Brighton are going to win 4-0.
Wow, really?
Yeah, Oxford are shit this year. Wow. They're in the Championship, and they are, my dad said it himself, they are a League One team. And they have, I'm not sure they've won a game yet this year. Three games in the league, three losses.
Yeah.
All been by one goal as well, which is a bit unlucky. But I think 4-0 to Brighton on that
okay.
one.
Okay, I'm going to go for the 3-1 here to Brighton.
Brighton, yeah, I like that. That's fair enough. Right, so the next game for me. Do you want to have a look at the Premier League games this weekend?
Yes, show me the Premier League games.
There you go. This is Saturday and this is Sunday.
Okay, give me the... Ooh, that's a tasty game. Give me the Saturday games, please, Cormac. Okay, I'm going to go for... Yeah, I'm going to go for Chelsea versus Fulham.
Yeah, I think so. We've got the West London derby.
Yeah.
One of the wettest derbies in the world. Sorry, West London football fans. But exciting game. Last year, I remember Fulham beat Chelsea at the Stamford Bridge.
I'm not a betting man.
And no, you're not, I am.
I put a £1 bet on Fulham to beat Chelsea.
Yep.
And they'd never done it before. And I heard the stat, it was like 1970. I'm going to put a pound on it.
Yeah.
120 quid.
Yeah, I remember that. Corker, good stuff. What do you think this time?
I'm going to go for a 2-2.
Ooh, okay. I like that. I like that a lot.
I think Chelsea will go 2-0 up, and then I think Fulham will... claw it back to 2-2.
I'm going to say 1-0 Chelsea.
You know, Fulham have... That's a good shout.
Yeah, boring shout.
It's a boring shout.
Yeah.
Fulham have, like, in the top four or five teams to have clawed the most points back from losing positions.
They were good. Marco Silva's a good manager, man.
Yeah, he is. And they haven't bought many manager. People, but sometimes you don't need to buy players sometimes.
No, they've started well. I do have a bit of a soft spot for Fulham. I don't know why. It's because I hate Chelsea as well.
I do hate Chelsea.
So I think anyone else who hates Chelsea, I can respect.
Yeah.
Right, my final game that I'm going to pick this week. Shall I pick the big one or do you want to pick it?
No, you pick the big one because that's
Liverpool Arsenal 4:30 on Sunday this week.
I know. That's crazy.
Big game, which we'll touch on very briefly after this because I realise we are taking our time this week. So apologies for that, folks. It's going to be a tough one at Liverpool, at Anfield. So it's interesting because it's attack versus defence, this one, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Because it's going to be Liverpool all out, guns a-blazing up top.
Oh, man.
And
this could be a nuts game.
This could be a really dull game.
Yeah.
I am going to say... I've got to back my boys, haven't I?
Ooh.
2-1 Arsenal.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Do you reckon Liverpool only have a goal in them, though?
I think Arsenal's, it's when, you know, it's the clash of the Titans, isn't it?
It is, in terms of
the best defence, probably, but it's the best attack in the league, I'd argue.
That's fair. I'm going to go for... I can't predict Liverpool to win. I'm going to go for a 3-3.
Oh, God. Do you think Arsenal got three goals?
I think he got
probably five against Leeds, but...
Eze does like...
Two assists, he's getting off the bench. And then Taylor finally. I mean, this could be a spicy. I don't want to pick the game for you, but...
I'm happy to go for that. Rangers versus Celtic.
Yeah,
firm derby.
I would say, what are their eight fixtures this month? I think they're probably playing against each other. But obviously, Russell Martin is the current Celtic... Rangers manager,
mm-hmm.
who has been having an absolutely honking start.
It's a true sign of a real bad manager if you go up to Scotland and you either manage... Rangers or Celtic and you still stick the cap out because it's the impossible job. And I think he's gone up with the completely wrong message. He's gone up to blame the fans. He's blaming everyone but himself and he's refusing to look inwardly.
Yeah.
And I think he's a bit of a fraud.
It's not a good look at all.
Don't get me wrong, I don't think Rangers have the best squad they've had in ages.
No.
But they have performed admirably in Europe the last few years and it looks like they're probably going to get knocked out to Club Bruges in their Champions League qualifier.
Yep.
Because they lost the first leg
3-1. Yeah,
so
second leg is tomorrow.
They're in a really rough position. And I think it goes one of two ways. If they lose to Club Bruges, or they don't get through, which probably is likely, and they lose to Celtic, I wouldn't be surprised to see Russell Martin lose his job. On that note, I'm going to go back Rangers now. I'm going to go 2-1 Rangers.
Saying all of that. Yeah. And then coming round and saying a Rangers win.
My grandpa will probably listen in and be like, yes, back the boys.
Yeah, is he a Rangers fan?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, good stuff. All right. I'm not going to back Russell Martin on this one.
This is one of my marginal gains.
I think Celtic are going for 3-0.
Really?
Yeah, 0-3.
Really?
And there you go, folks. That is another week of the red and white scoreboard. So it's all tied at 6 at the top of the league.
This is where the
League of Two.
Yeah.
We go into week three and see how we go.
We're
going
to be doing international fixtures over the international.
Oh, we're going to have to, aren't we?
We're going to have to.
That's going to be boring.
Hate international break.
That's next week as well.
Literally next.
The only good thing that's come off the international break is that Saka's injured, so we that's one
big
less,
sacks, man.
So that's one less game he's actually missing. Premier League game.
True.
Right then, finally, let's do a quick a little bit of a preview of this week. Then we've already touched on level a little bit, but the big game being the Liverpool versus Arsenal.
I had no idea this game was happening. That's
get excited, folks. I am excited for that, and I am nervous. It's going to be a good test, I think. Kind of a good litmus test for both sides.
Anfield. That's probably like one of your hardest games you'll have this whole season.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to have Old Trafford and Anfield, two of the first three games of the season, it's a pretty brutal way to start. You know,
it is.
And if we get 7 points from the first three games, that's a pretty strong tally
Imagine if you beat him.
If you get nine, that's even better. It's going to be a tricky game.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, without Saka now, so I imagine it's going to be Madueke starting on that right-hand side, where he looked a lot better when you did play there for like 5 minutes.
It's almost like he's not a left winger.
I know.
I'm excited for you guys. I think that'll be a great game.
Yeah, I think so. So you're sticking with your 2-2, are you, on that one there? You expecting a draw?
I went 3-3, didn't I?
You did go 3-3, actually.
I did go 3-3.
You did go
3-3.
Yeah,
back in them, man. Yeah. I can't predict Liverpool to win.
Yeah, so true.
And I need the marginal gains, so I need to go for a draw. But yeah, Manchester United versus Burnley. Rubbish. If we don't win,
you gotta win.
Amorim out. I'm officially moving the goalposts to Amorim out if we don't.
You don't think so, by the way?
Don't know. Yeah.
No. All right. Cool. Do you want to watch the Man United?
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. Probably.
Well, you just witnessed magic, folks.
Paul Mack could watch my demise.
I'm really hoping Burnley do something.
Really. You should know. You know. I need.
Oh, no, actually, I just realized that we can't watch it. It's 3 o'clock on a Saturday.
Oh no! Absolutely. We live in the United Kingdom, where the English Barclays Premier League is not shown on television.
So
3 o'clock on a Saturday.
We won't be watching.
We'll be playing chess or something else
with soccer Saturday on in the background.
Yes, 100%. I'm excited for another round of Premier League fixtures. I'm looking forward to 10 weeks in, because you can't look at the table.
Ten games into the league. At the moment, it's too vague. I mean, obviously, everyone's...
I mean, at the minute, man, you're 15th.
And
so,
also, it means everything. Champions League draws on Thursday as well.
That's exciting. We'll touch on that.
Yeah, we'll touch on that next week. But that's an exciting way to kind of get European football cooking now as well.
I'm so depressed.
Yeah, and you can watch it from neutral. For a lot of the games, but
I'm anything but neutral on many aspects of my existence.
That's so true.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be another interesting week with the final week of the transfer window as well. So we've already said it, but final predictions on you, Zach. You think he stays?
Yeah.
I think he goes. Do Liverpool get a centre back through the door? Does Gehi go?
Give me an absolute absurd take between now and what's happening for the end of the transfer.
Arsenal signed 5 more centre backs.
Yeah, honestly, that's more likely than anything I've heard.
No, I will go. I'm trying to think of kind of who is cooking at the moment. Have you got one there? Because I'm in an R.
I have got one. Yeah, So Rasmus Højlund and Antony both leave Manchester United. Alejandro Garnacho and Jadon Sancho stay at Manchester United.
Yeah, I can see that happening. I still do think Garnacho is going to go. I don't know why.
No, because he's paying. It's the most obvious telltale of
his agent's paying Fabrizio
Romano to keep saying that the deal's almost done. And everything else I'm hearing from actual sources is that the deal is nowhere near done. They want to pay $35 million.
Fabrizio, if you're watching, which I'm sure you are, just take a chill pill, man, on the tweets.
Just tell.
We don't need to see everything every 30 seconds.
We don't need to know it's like 34% of the way there and he only wants one club.
Let us know when discussions have started and when they've closed.
Take a leaf out of Ornstein Bomber book, man.
Yeah, the main man, David Ornstein.
Big him up, man. He's had a great chance.
Come on, pod. Back weeks for saying.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got an outrageous take then.
Yeah.
I think United don't sign a goalkeeper and don't sign a midfielder.
I'll be so few. I'm literally getting angry. I can't think about it. I hate this. Okay, done. I don't want
to. Yeah, good stuff. Taylor, have you got anything else you would like to touch on this week?
Absolutely not. I'm angry.
Nice, beautiful. Well, like I said at the beginning, guys, if you did enjoy and you are still watching, first of all, fair play for watching all of that. Please subscribe, please like, please share, please comment. It's been another pleasurable week, Taylor. Thank you very much for joining me. Hope you've all enjoyed watching, and we'll catch you next week.